tripod up? You gonna hold it the whole time?
Oh yeah, that's usually what I do. That way I get different views on what it looks like. So you look good. So who are you?
So I'm Rob Kenny, dev lead in Windows App Compat team.
Okay. And App Compat.
Applications compatibility. Sorry for the...
So are you the guy who's responsible for breaking all the apps? Or?
No, I'm the guy for cleaning up after everybody's broken up all the apps.
I bet you have a lot of work ahead of you.
So, you know the guy at the end of the parade who sweeps up behind the elephants?
Yep.
That's kind of what we do here.
Yeah. And so on Windows Vista, there's a lot of changes coming, right? Particularly, we're changing the security model from being full admin rights to limited user rights, right?
Correct. And so that will impact some applications. What we're trying to do is our team's been working with the Lua guys, so they're now PUA, Protected User Mode something or other, whatever the acronym is today.
Yep.
We've been working with them trying to get the right pieces in place so we can mitigate the problems and identify the problems when they do occur.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that need to come into play for protected mode to work properly. You have to identify what applications need to run as installers. So they need to be administrator privileges.
Right.
And then you have to get those applications launched properly.
Yep.
So that the OS basically will bring up the little dialog that says, hey, please type in an administrator password.
Yep.
So those are two of the technologies that they've put in place for limited
user. Is that what your team does? Or?
They've actually done the implementation. So we've been sort of working with them, helping to identify what's a setup application. We've provided some technology that they can use to identify applications. And they basically said, using this technology, here's a bunch of attributes that we deem to signify that something's an installer.
Right. So does your team, because we just interviewed Chris Jones, right,
mm-hmm.
Vice President up there, and he told us about some of the work that some parts of his team are doing to shim apps so that, you know, some apps ask what version Windows are we on, and, oh, we're not on the right version of Windows, so we'll just shut down and not work. And so somebody wrote a little shim to make
that's us.
That's you.
I won't raise my hand specifically for that one, but unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, that happens to be one of our most popular shims. The unfortunate part is that happens to be one of the most common reasons for applications not working on the OS, is they explicitly say, I don't know who this is, and I'm not going to run here.
Yeah.
And the reality is, the majority of those applications, if you were to just say, really, this is Windows XPSV2, they're like, great! They install and they work perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it happens to be one of the easiest mitigations that we have. You know, there's the actual code change necessary to implement that is trivial.
Yeah.
The more difficult part is identifying who needs to have those what we call them version lines. Who needs to be lied to there?
Yeah.
And
what did you call them?
Version lies.
Version lies.
Yeah. So we basically have them running all the way back.
So you're the version liar.
Yeah. So we have them running all the way back from Windows 2K SP3 all the way up to, we have XPSP2 and we also have Server SP1.
Okay.
And so, you know, we can pretty much make any of these applications believe they're running on any version of the OS that we want to. The trick is, who needs to be lied to?
Yeah.
Or we have other mitigations. We don't want to glorify just this one. We have other ones. And the big difficulty is identifying those guys who need the appropriate solutions.
Now why does Microsoft care so much about whether an app runs or not? I mean, in fact, we've all heard the famous myths, right? You know, DOS ain't done until some app won't run. You know, is that your... You're the guy that decides whether an app runs, you know, right? Does the DOJ sit outside?
It's funny. When I worked outside of the company, I heard those same rumors. I kind of had the same negative feelings about the company as well. And, you know, really, we're just way too busy to even be malicious about anything. You know, everybody is so busy about trying to get their job done.
Yeah.
AppCompat tends to be, this is, you know, disappointment from my side, tends to be not one of the primary goals that people have when they're making code changes. They want to make it faster, they make it cooler, you know, the whole glass UI, you know, is like really cool and you know, just taking advantage of the hardware and everything.
Right.
And unfortunately, it causes some applications to work less better, and some of them just won't work at all.
Yeah. Why do engineers do this, don't they? I've been studying this, and it's not just a Microsoft thing, right? I'm studying, you know, some of the formats that the community has built, and engineers come along and say, "Oh, I can do that better," you know. And by saying I can do that better, they don't care about the apps that are, they fork things, right? They come out with a version 2 that doesn't run on version 1. You know?
Well, I think part of that is just engineers in general, right?
So, yeah.
You know, growing up, always it's like there's got to be, how do these things work? You know, it's always one of the things that I'm interested as a kid. So there's I think, just an engineering mentality is wanting to know how things work and wanting to make them work better. The reality is, so you have to measure better in different ways.
Yeah.
Right? If you talk to somebody on the perf team, better is equal faster.
Yeah.
There's no difference there. You know, better is faster. You talk to somebody on the reliability team.
Yeah.
They're like, well, better is something that's going to work all the time. It works when the disk is full. It works when I'm running low on memory.
Yeah.
You know, it works when I've installed a bunch of applications on the machine. You know, it works all the time. Yeah. You get to compatibility. It's another design goal. And this is one of the things that we'd love.
Let me move you over there because...
glare.
Well, your face is all dark.
Who's the mystery man?
Now I can see you. Yeah. So we were talking about, teams say better is...
It's your measure.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the things we're trying to work on here is to help teams understand that compatibility is another way of measuring better.
Yeah.
That... You know, being faster is important. Being reliable is important. Being taking advantage of the new hardware is important. Being compatible is another design goal. If you tend to overlook the requirements, you know, your design goals, then you're not going to get the customer what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, if we take 10 years to build the next best thing, it's like the hardware has moved past us so much that it's not reasonable to spend so much time to make the perfect product. You have to make the trade-offs that are best for your customer or what you feel is best for your customer.
Right.
And so why is it important to Microsoft is it's important to our customers. They're the ones who have to, if they get a new OS, have to go out and buy new software if it's not compatible. Last thing I want to do is, you know, spend $1,000 on a new computer and then have to drop another $1,000 on replacing every one of my applications.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just doesn't make people happy.
Yeah. You know all the mistakes that developers make, right?
Oh, don't get me on that one.
What are the top three mistakes? We talked about one.
Okay, right? The number one is the version line.
The version line. I love that.
We just recently coined the term. That's opt-in incompatibility. That's the application raising their hand and saying, I refuse to be compatible with this version of the OS. Right? The version number is going to change, obviously, between every OS release. So it's not like that's something that's going to surprise somebody.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I've got this speech ready for PDC, and it's actually the top 5 ways of ensuring your application won't work.
Okay.
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek.
I'm only asking for
on
three.
The next
so the other two, you got to go to the PDC.
Depending on how I'm feeling, sometimes it's developer bugs.
Okay.
You know, bugs in the application that get exposed. And times, you know, unfortunately, it's things that we've changed in the OS. You know, the version thing is, yes, we've changed the OS number. Yep. But, you know, you can also look at it. Yes, this application isn't checking the version number properly or making incorrect assumptions about what that is.
Yeah.
You know, another common issue is people playing around in the registry. So, you know, you need to find some value, so you just bring up regedit and then, you know, hit control F and search for something until it comes back. Oh, here's a match. Oh, this is how I get the directory for the program files. I can just read this registry key.
Yeah.
And then, you know, NextOS, when we move that registry key around or change its type from RegSE to ExpandSE or something like that, then kaboom, you know. You know, Microsoft, or, you know, we can do a better job of documenting how to find those things.
Yeah.
And you can also just point fingers at the developers and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's ownership on both sides.
Now, is there... I see all these books on there, on your shelf, and every developer has all... But is there a book of things that you shouldn't do in Windows that, you know... Or really, you're taking the brunt of where a developer here hasn't really explained it or protected it or, you know, done a good job of helping the developer along, and the developer's taken a shortcut somehow and or found something on, like you said, searching around the registry, oh, I found a key, I'll just use it, no problem, you know.
Even if the short answer is no, there's no book for something like this. The caveat is, visit us at PDC and watch the lecture, and we'll talk about some of these common things. Even if we did have the book, the problem would be getting it into the hands of the people who need it.
Yeah.
And some of those people are developers here at Microsoft. You know, we need to convince our developers that compatibility is important as a design criteria. We also
you mean
need
people on the Windows team or people
Windows
on other?
Well, actually, both.
Okay.
Yes to both. The OS team, for sure. It's like, you know, I would love to be able to raise the awareness of compatibility throughout the Windows organization. You know, everybody understands perf. It's harder sell.
Well, we should talk for their paycheck, shouldn't we? you break an app, you get, you know, $500 taken out of your paycheck or something.
No, you destroy the local economy. Joke, honest. Most apps work.
Yeah. Well, I remember Windows 95, and the Windows team actually went to the local Best Buy or Fry's or one of these computer stores and bought as many apps as they could. They went on a shopping spree. Are you going to do that with Windows Vista, to do the same thing and go and download as thousands of apps and try out all sorts of apps to make sure that they don't break?
So we're not limited. Well, the thousands, no, but we currently have like 600 applications that we continuously test, and we're using those as sort of the benchmark of the OS. So it's not that we're trying to fix only those 600 applications. We're more of trying to use those 600 applications to find out what the incompatibilities are in the OS, and then say, hey, this area has this problem. Let's fix the problem.
Okay.
The other approach is, this one application is broken. So let's go do what we need to do to make that one app work. We'd rather get the OS changed so that anybody who had that issue or would have had that issue would never see it.
Yeah.
Sort of the general versus the specific solution.
Right.
So we use that app list of about 600 applications to sort of help us flesh out what are the general sort of problems that applications are having with today's versions of the changes, and then create bugs and get those bugs fixed so that...
When you say create bugs, you mean report a bug.
Report bugs. Yeah.
That's how Microsoft is talking. We create a bug. Well, the bug was created.
I just checked in the bug for this.
Yeah.
Bug fix?
Yeah.
Yes.
And obviously we're beta testing with hundreds of thousands of people over the next year.
Yeah, so that's another way. Okay. You know, so we picked this list of 600 applications.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of went out and said, okay, to break the market up into different segments, you know, there's productivity apps and there's games and, you know, it's all different kinds of applications in different market segments, and pick the big, you know, the top sellers in those things. And then the beta program is, well, let's find out what's really important to everybody else out there. So, you know, how many people download stuff from, you know, CNET.com or anywhere else on the internet?
Yeah.
And, you know, what applications are they basically saying these things are broken? And then the top ones out of that are the ones that, hey, look, there's these issues here that, you know, in the OS that are causing problems with compatibility, and we'll create bugs, create bug reports. Actually, you can create bugs different ways, too. Create bug reports and, you know, get the developers who own those components to, you know, rethink his changes.
Yeah.
And say, oh, well, if I were to just do it this way instead, I can both make this new feature work as well as allow the older applications to work.
Right. What else do I need to know about your job? So,
I'm doing a fantastic job.
Well, we will judge that, right? If when I buy Windows Vista and I stick in my Photoshop and my games and, you know, if it all runs, we'll know you did your job right, right?
And this is a limitation in the English language. When you say you, it's the capital, it's the plural you. Right?
Yeah.
It's not just me. I mean...
No, I hope not. Right.
You keep saying you, and it's like, man, I'm the most important guy in the old OS.
No.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people. There's
right,
like,
Raymond Chan talks about it. Do you work with Raymond? Because he writes on his blog about some of these old historical issues of fixing some of these, making sure things run, and how hard it is, actually.
So, you know, there are developers throughout the OS division that, you know, have heard the compatibility story and have, you know, basically understand the importance. And so, you know, it's like, well, I don't work with Raymond Chan, you know, daily. We cross paths and have a lot of common interests in the compatibility area.
Yeah.
But back to the thing, it's like, what else? There's a lot of people on this team that do a lot of hard work. The testers, you know, there's 600 apps, and so there's a lot of people who've automated those apps, and that's a big amount of work. And I just want to, you know, acknowledge that. There's a lot of effort that, you know, our whole organization puts in to testing for compatibility, trying to ensure it. You know, there's other developers on this team, you know, whose jobs are to put diagnostics into the OS so that if an application has a problem, you know, we can identify that and maybe send a report back to Microsoft. And so now it's like, hey, here's another channel for information saying there's these applications that are experiencing problems.
Right.
And then we're also putting tools together for the corporations. So they're basically saying, well, I've heard about this Windows Vista.
Yep.
You know, what's it going to cost me to move over to this platform? You know, it's like, I know how much it costs to buy, you know, 100,000 copies for all of my, you know, desktops.
Yeah.
But some of my apps aren't going to work. You know, you're not going to, you know, guaranteeing 100% compatibility. How do I find out?
Yep.
You know, and we even have, you know, tools to go in so they don't even know what applications they have.
Wow.
Deployed throughout their corporation. And so we've put together this toolkit, the application compatibility toolkit. Step one of that is let's go identify as best as we can what applications are installed on all of the machines in a corporation.
Wow.
Collate all that information into a database.
Yep.
And now we can start answering questions like, which of these applications we know have problems?
Yep.
And then if we have solutions, we can basically say, hey, not only do these have problems, but here's some ways that you can mitigate it. You know, the easy ones are, well, you have to buy the new version from the vendor, or there's a patch available, or there's a compatibility solution that you can download from Microsoft, or, you know, we don't know anything about this app, but just even knowing that is valuable to the corporations. And so now they basically say, okay, now to migrate to Vista, 100,000 copies plus, I have to buy new versions of these apps, I have to go get these patches, and so now their problem is much well-defined. It's like, okay, now to get from here to Vista, I got to do this and this and this and this.
Right. Let's say I'm a beta tester, and I find an app that doesn't run on, like, beta 2, when I get beta 2, hopefully later this year or early next year. Where should I report that? Should I report that? Now, if I'm a technical beta tester, I have a news group to report that to. But if I get a copy from my friend or, you know, or I downloaded it from MSDN Universal, is there a place you hang out in to watch for new reports of weird apps?
No, unfortunately, the beta program is handled by another group. And so they're the ones that hand out all the disks and who's in or out or on or off the list, I suppose. So I don't have a place where I hang out to help with compatibility issues. Usually what happens is the bug reports come in, they'll get collated, and then when you reach a certain threshold of, you know, reports from customers, then our test teams will bring it in and try and acquire the app and reproduce the problem.
Right.
And then ultimately it ends up, you know, in our team, not necessarily me specifically, but what is the issue? And then so our whole organization is gets all of these bugs funneled into us.
Yep.
And then it's our job to push them out to the rest of the Windows organization and help them or get them to mitigate the solutions.
Right. So there's probably a page where you click on a link and send a report for people. If there's, and this is hard to understand because I've been on the beta Windows betas for a long time. I was on the NT1 beta and the Windows 95 beta. But there's different kinds of betas. You know, there's a technical beta. We should talk to that team who's hands out these discs, because you're right. And some people get builds.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, the important thing is report the issues. It's not like they just go into a big black hole that everybody ignores.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how large the beta program is. You know, but
it's huge.
if you're the only one that finds this one problem in this one app that only 10 people in the world have ever run, chances are, you know, it's not going to be something that we're going to address specifically, but it's the accumulation of information.
Yeah.
The more people that test this out and run different apps, the more results that we get in. We're going to find the ones that are most important to the majority of our customers. You know, we don't have the 10 years to ship Vista. We've, you know, got to choose the right apps to address the issues. And sometimes we do end up fixing specific applications that are important to our customers.
Yep. What else do I need to know about what you do? Or how to avoid problems with Windows Vista? Do you guys certify apps? Do you bless it and say, oh, that app runs fine? You know, or out of the 600, do you send them a certificate?
So in the past, there's been what's been called a logo program.
Yep.
And they're currently trying to define what that program should be for Longhorn. We've contributed greatly to a lot of the requirements for that, because part of that is sort of, some of it is prescriptive guidance on things that you should be doing for your application, you know, as simple as, you know, making sure it runs under fast user switching.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
done.
You know, test this scenario. So we've put down scenarios that you should look for your applications. And, you know, knowing that version line is one of the biggest problems, we say, hey, try and installing this on an up-level version of the OS and see what happens. Yeah. We've even given them tools in the past that basically we can apply like version 10.4 to your application, and then you try and run and install or whatever and see how your app responds to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so we've provided some tools that allow them to test these scenarios as well.
Okay. Anything else?
There's probably lots of things.
Yeah. Cool. Any other common mistakes that you see developers making?
Try not to get too preachy, but usually when you think you're being really sneaky or being found a really interesting way of solving the problem, chances are that's going to be a compatible problem in the future. Okay. You know, again, like searching the registry, you know, and finding some key that tells you some piece of information, like, oh, I've found the Windows OS version string in here. When in fact we do provide an API, several APIs actually, to provide that version number. If you think you're being sneaky in solving, or really tricky in solving a certain kind of problem, you know, those tend to be the kind that come back later in the next OS release.
Yep.
You know, private, you know, undocumented registry keys are undocumented for a reason.
Yep.
You know,
we feel they're documented or not.
That's actually a tricky one.
Okay.
You know, normally
it
goes the other way. If MSDN is talking about it, you know, like the uninstall string is very common. It's like, okay, how do I get my entry to show up in add remove programs? Well, add these values to the registry. Okay. It's hard. There's no place in MSDN you can go to that says these are all the approved registry keys.
Right.
You know, you may look and read these values. We guarantee that they're going to stay constant or consistent across OS releases.
Yep.
So maybe that's something that, you know, we could put together.
Okay. But that's a good hint. If you can find it on MSDN, it's probably a documented API. And if you can't find it there, that should make it work.
Well, certainly for the registry keys.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's a lot of keys out there. Yeah. And so, you know, if you're going to use one, search for it. And if MSDN shows up, because Google might, or MSN Search might bring up a lot of other interesting results. But, you know, we make certain assumptions. You know, if we've documented the key, we make the assumption that people are using it, and we should be pretty serious about any thoughts of changing those keys.
Yeah.
If we haven't documented, we kind of consider them to be private, and we're much more apt to go ahead and change it.
Yeah.
And other common mistakes, and sort of summarize and pull up the speech in my mind.
Yeah.
Version lies is number one. Registry is common. I need to review my slides. using the right, it's not so common, but it was really common in XP, using the proper APIs to find out where to place your files.
Okay.
Right? Use the sh get folder path routines.
Now that's even more important on Windows Vista, isn't it?
It'll be as important for going to Vista as it was going from Windows 95 to Windows XP, right? Because we are changing the locations of things. My documents and settings is passé.
Yep.
Now it's being renamed to users. They're also rearranging the directory structure. So if you said get the path to this one directory and then go ../... to get to my documents, you know, that's not a safe assumption. That's another one of those things. I'm being kind of tricky in trying to find it.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, a whole CSIDL devoted for pretty much any one of those directories that we need to be storing items.
Right.
And I guess, you know, just sort of the caveats for sort of, you know, Lua coming out in the future.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you don't have free reign over every registry key and file system anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of this isn't new. It's just that what's new for Vista is
more of talking about
enforcing it. Because you can, you know, have all of these very same issues in Windows XP.
I think Chris was talking about read-write capability. Some apps expect to see read-write into the registry, or
a lot of applications believe that they can, you know, modify anything in HKLM at their whim.
Okay.
You know, two poor assumptions there. First one is that they can modify anything in HKLM they want, and the second one would be that they actually have their permissions. Just
right.
Because most people have been running logged in as administrators, they've, you know, had the permissions to go in and modify HKLM, not necessarily modify, but just add new keys there.
Yeah.
And the same thing, program files is meant to be sort of an administrator-only directory.
Yep.
And, you know, it's very common for applications to drop things, especially like when they're updating themselves. So I need to go modify all my files. I'm running as, well, Rob Kenny, and so come Vista, I might not have permission to do that anymore. And these aren't new. Right? I can go and set up Windows XP and test that environment out today. How does my application react to me not having administrator privileges?
Yeah.
It's just what's new is we're kind of
changing. We change the default.
Change the default. You know, just sort of tightening it down. So we're trying to, in this case, you know, we're trying to do what's best for our customers.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make their computers safer and less susceptible to being taken over by, you know, malicious or virus or whatever.
Hackers or whatever, yep.
And, you know, in this case, you know, protecting our customer is paramount. And, you know, it's hard for me to say being in app compat, but, you know, we're willing to take a hit in compatibility because we know the right thing to do for the customer is to make them feel safe.
Yeah.
My data should be my data, and it shouldn't be, you know, provided to everybody out there in the world.
Yep.
My computer should be something that I can feel safe to use and not be scared that, you know, I'm going to end up becoming an email server.
Yep. Exactly. I agree with that totally. But it shows you the tension behind, you know, the world has changed. It's therefore, the OS must change. But, you know, and the engineer says, hey, I got to change this, and I'm sorry.
You know, if I were to just put my compatibility hat on, you know, Lua is a bad feature.
Yeah.
But if I put my Microsoft hat on, you know, I don't know. It depends. How many apps she has to rebuy? But, you know, and it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's hard to argue, but it comes back to what I said a little earlier about the design trade-offs, right? One of the design goals that we figure out as engineers is, you know, is this safe for my customer?
Yeah.
You know, so you now have performance and reliability and security and compatibility. There's all kinds of illities that you know, oftentimes have competing desires.
Yeah.
And finding the right mix and what the customer wants is the important thing.
Yep. Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time
okay.
and trying to explain what you do. And hopefully we won't have to see you too much in the next year, right?
The invisible man, you know? The downside of my, well, I don't know what the downside, but you know, when I do my job right, nobody notices.
Yeah.
You know? If I don't do my job right, that's when I get a lot of attention.
Yeah. So hopefully
I'm not
you
missed,
don't get
I'm
very
not
much
Mr. Flashy.
Hopefully you don't get very much attention over the next year and a half, right? So, well, thanks for sharing what you do and letting us know how to write our apps so that they don't get on your radar screen. So, thanks.
Hopefully it helps.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks.